Welcome to Snow Nation. This is Sir Thomas, and you know we're just going to dive right into this. Now, what we're gonna discuss, it's been a long time coming. We're gonna talk about white supremacy, and where this is coming from is from a statement actually made by El Presidente Biden. Or Beijing Biden, as some people like to call him. And his statement publicly was, it goes like this. We won't ignore what our intelligence agencies have determined to be the most lethal terrorist threat to our homeland today. White supremacy is terrorism. So we've had our fair share of boogeymen in this country. And, you know, there's a little cycle, and you know, every usually follows the election cycle where things will be very quiet, and then all of a sudden, just boom, here's the thing we want you to be afraid of, whether it's COVID or jihadi terrorists, or in this case, white supremacy. And white supremacy it's an easy go to because it's hard for. I wouldn't say it's hard for people to question it, but some with cancel culture, you know, falling in behind that, people are so afraid to question that. The fact that a president can publicly make a statement like this. And we actually had a member of Congress make a statement. This was a couple months ago. This was back in January. Where he talked about the military and he talked about white men in the military and that there, you know, there's this white supremacy, like there's this danger that exists there. And he was able to say that and walk away unscathed, just nothing. No one really pushed the issue. No one questioned it. So I'm not really shocked at the fact that, you know, our current president would make a statement like this and it would go unchallenged. And it's a phenomenal thing because it's so obvious that that's not the case. That's not the greatest, most lethal terrorist threat to our homeland. I mean, we can just look back to 2020. I don't recall seeing any people in white hoods burning down Minneapolis or Atlanta or Chicago or Philadelphia or Oakland or Los Angeles or Portland. Or Dallas. You know, I don't recall seeing that. I didn't see a bunch of people dressed in all white with burning crosses running around just setting things on fire. I did see a whole lot of ignorant Americans, unfortunately, mostly black from what I saw in some of the video feeds, and young. But no, I did not see, I didn't see a whole lot of white supremacy going on. Now, on January the 6th at the Capitol, there was some little factions that were just kind of lingering around, you know, and those ignorant individuals played their part. And of course, we all know what happened on January the 6th. But I just find it just a bit entertaining and a bit sad the fact that this cycle comes back around. And we're closing in on the midterms. And, of course, we'll have our 2023, 2024, you know, presidential election cycle. And we're coming full circle. And we're bringing all this stuff back up. You know, we're trying to keep that fire burning and keep racism, you know, at the forefront of the conversation. Not to actually try to, like, solve anything or find any type of core issues or anything like that. It's just to keep it alive. So then when you need it, you can go back to it and you can tug on it and use it if you need to make a little bit of money. You know, if you need to shut down any particular candidates, especially if they're white and male, you can go back to that and you can just keep using it. I mean, it's a amazing tool and these politicians just won't let go of it. And here we are with no challenge. And someone can still say, you know, white supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy. And I had a conversation where A lot of people were talking about Antifa, and then some people were talking about white supremacy, the KKK, you know, white nationalists, all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of raised my hand, and I just kind of said, hey, well, has anyone, you know, taken into consideration, you know, black supremacy and the danger that lies therein? Case in point, BLM, and the fact that, you know, 24 people were murdered, either going to, attending, or leaving a lot of those protests that were happening at that time. And there was a lot of just, you know, first, of course, you know, people want to make sure that, you know, if I'm white, then I'll be instantly labeled as a racist. But then when they see that I'm black, then it, you know, they become a bit confused and they think that I'm joking. And then, of course, I have to reiterate and add emphasis to it and just restate, hey, this, you know, like black supremacy is just as dangerous as white supremacy. I mean, heck, Martin Luther King said that in one of his speeches. I mean, and he went into it pretty deep, but I love how that's, you know, one of those things, you know, they'll tout MLK, but they'll leave that piece out for whatever reason, because, you know, we can't have the masses exercising deductive reasoning, critical thought, you know, or being rational. You know, it has to just be, you know, activate, you know, evil white racism. Yeah. You know, white supremacy. Yeah. You know, past black grievances, activate, you know, and then they just can trigger you and just, you know, manipulate you emotionally and have you commit all kinds of vile acts of criminality, which we've witnessed and we're still witnessing. But we keep falling into that. And I love in the statement where he mentions our wonderful intelligence agencies. And I laugh whenever someone just says, hey, well, the CIA published this, the FBI published this, Homeland Security, the DOJ, you know, the FBI, and they throw that stuff out there. Like, it really, does that really mean anything? I mean, honestly, does that mean anything to anyone now? All the things that we've seen, all the information that's available out there, you know, all these declassified documents from the CIA showing their incompetence and their corruption and their actions as far as smuggling in guns and drugs and, you know, smuggling money out and assisting drug cartels and all that kind of stuff. And this isn't conspiracy theory. This is public knowledge. The information is there. It's just, you know, people just aren't big into reading books or complex things right now. So it's easy to just wave it off. But to say, hey, you know, we won't ignore what our intelligence agencies have determined to be the most lethal terrorist threat to our homeland. What an absolute farce. You know, that those same intelligence agencies that, you know, they all just fell asleep on 9/11, 2001. You know, those same intelligence agencies that pushed the, you know, WMDs in Iraq and invasion, all the nonsense in Afghanistan, all the craziness in Syria. You know, they also told us that, you know, our 2020 election was the most secure election in our nation's history. You know, I mean, who's buying this stuff? It's absolute just lunacy. But they push it because it works. You know, I think the saying is, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Well, they just keep pushing it and pushing it. You know, there's this little unity for about a second or two, and then it goes right back into division. You know, you're this race and this person's that race, and here's the line in the middle. You know, you're this religion, go over here. You know, I mean, you're this sex and you're this sex, go over here. It's just this constant just divide. And I can't say it enough. You know, it's that divide and conquer. It's just so easy to manipulate people and extort them and get them to follow the wildest ideologies. And, you know, and of course, in 2020, they also had the bonus of isolation with all the mandated quarantines and all that kind of stuff, because that makes sense that someone can make you a prisoner in your own home and you're healthy. Interesting. Treating the healthy as though they were sick. Yeah, that makes sense. But of course, we gave our consent, whether it was manufactured consent or it was legitimate, but we gave it with our compliance, and we continue to give it, which is, you know, big shocker how the needle keeps moving, the goalpost keeps shifting, you know, with each passing week. The criteria for success or return to normalcy keeps changing. But that's a discussion for another time. But going back to MLK, his statement about black supremacy being as dangerous as white supremacy, there's a little more to that statement. And, you know, the full statement is black supremacy is as dangerous as white supremacy. And he further states that God isn't interested merely in the freedom of black men. God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race and in the creation of a society where all men can live together as brothers. You know, that whole statement, it's a beautiful statement, and it's simplistic, it's raw, it's easy to understand, it's easy to digest, but for whatever reason, you know, our mainstream media, they won't really touch on that. Our politicians won't touch on that because it doesn't serve the narrative. It doesn't serve their cause or their agenda, because it's not about your health. It's not about my health, be it physical, mental, spiritual, you know, all that. It's just about, you know, what a particular class or a particular group of people, what they want. And that comes first. And I throw that out there to the people that, you know, constantly tout about the power of the vote. And while I believe it's a beautiful thing, a true a true constitutional republic is, if that's what, I mean, on paper, that's what we are. You know, some will say democracy, but we're a constitutional republic on paper. Well, we're more of a totalitarian oligarchy, but, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But the power of the vote, yeah, sure, you can vote. But if you look at the data, and there's plenty of case studies out there, I believe some done at Cambridge and Harvard, that actually broke down how successful or just what bills become law based on its popularity amongst the majority, the 99%ers, or I should say the 90%ers, and then you have the top 10%, and then you have that 1%, you know, and the 1% of the 1%, and time again, the majority is left out. You know, the things that, you know, we want the most and the things that we try to demand from our legislative branch in particular, we just can't seem to get it, to the point where what we want doesn't even make it to the floor for a vote in Congress. One example of that is that whole Medicare for All. The fact that I believe it's 68 or 69%, you know, the country wants that. Multiple polls express that. That's what they want. Are they going to get it? Are we going to get it? Well, no, we haven't thus far, even though majority of us want it. You know, the fact that Congress can have an approval rating of, you know, 9%, 10%, but a reelection rate of 96%, that speaks volumes to just the whole system. So it's a pretty wild situation that we're in. But I do feel it's a very unique time. We have access to a lot of information at our fingertips. If we only use our iPhones and our Samsung Galaxy Pro X, whatever version you have, if we use all this technology to its full potential, I mean, the information is literally at your fingertips. Sure, there's a great deal of censorship going on. Sure, there are certain factions that are trying to literally just rewrite history. But the information is still there. A lot of the digging that I do, I only have to go a few layers deep to find the information. And then I, you know, for a control, I'll find a second or third source and try to line that up and determine, okay, what's the closest thing to the truth? Because, you know, as we all know, it's incredibly hard with social media and mainstream media and all the propaganda being pushed, trying to determine what real is. So that's just some of my thoughts. You know, white supremacy, it's a very useful boogeyman. That's why it constantly keeps being brought up, election after election, cycle after cycle. You know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, as I've said before, racial justice, I mean, it's a golden goose. It is. It's the environment is set up in such a way where it's difficult, or it appears to be difficult or even dangerous, to express the truth if it goes against that narrative, that approved narrative, that approved spectrum of conversation, or the approved spectrum of opinion. The second you say anything that goes outside of that, which I've done plenty of times, you get yourself into a lot of trouble. And I've found myself being verbally bashed by, you know, it'll start by people on the left, always. it'll be people on the left, you know, when I'm talking about liberals, or if I'm talking about the Democrats, the history of the Democratic Party, or a particular candidate, in this case, our current president, and then I'll have people on the right, yeah, you know, and then the second I just slightly I pivot just a little bit, and I'll point out the faults on the other side, and it's not as bad as those on the left. No one calls me any racial slurs like the ones on the left, but there's still some on the right that'll show a little bit of hypocrisy and a little bit of rudeness and disdain. But, you know, that's the way it is, because, you know, we have our political cults that a lot of us like to cling to. So you're either with us or against us. You're either red or blue. You know, all lives matter, black lives matter. You're either pro-life or pro-choice. That's it. There's no middle ground. There's no room for discussion. There's no option C. There's no reasoning or logic. We're right, you're wrong. We're good, you're evil. You know, and that's how you can have people running through cities just trying to burn them to the ground because they truly believe deep down inside that the other side is pure evil, when no, that's not the case. So, but with all that said, those are my thoughts. My book recommendation, I have to go back to, I think I recommended it some weeks ago, but I have to go back. Jason Riley, he's become one of my favorite authors. He had the book Please Stop Helping Us, and how liberals make it hard for blacks to succeed today. But the one that I want to throw out there that I recommend that you check out would have to be False Black Power. And that one's focused on ethnic identity politics, and this focus, of course, it's mostly focused on the black community and the black experience, but just how there's this... we've been pushed to view political power as the be-all, do-all, the only way to achieve, the only way to activate any real change within a community or within a nation, rather than focusing on people power, like self-improvement, that sort of thing, personal responsibility, focusing on those concepts to improve yourself as an individual, and of course, be that change you wish to be, as Gandhi once said. So I recommend that book, False Black Power by Jason Riley. Check it out. It's also available on audiobooks. There's some audiobook versions you can check out. There's an abridged version if you don't have quite as much time on your hands and you just want to hit a few chapters. You'll still get a lot from it. There's still a lot of goodness in that. So with that, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Enjoy your weekend. Snell Nation out.